There's a war coming. A terrible war.
Hello and welcome to episode 15 of Gothamized, the completely unofficial podcast where we talk about all things Batman and obviously the new series Gotham. I'm Batman.
I haven't got anything this time.
What? You could be Birdman, although I think you said it once.
Yeah, no, I've said that.
You're the Electrocutioner.
No, that's not a thing.
Is that even a word? Electrocutioner? No.
No, that's not a thing.
Electrocutor.
Yeah, it'd be electrocutor.
There you go.
Like, I'm the doctor is better, I guess.
I guess.
But I'm like the psycho sociopath doctor.
Yeah, you're that crazy female nurse who's not a nurse.
Yeah, I know.
Who's a patient.
How the fuck do you not know?
I don't know.
Seriously?
It's fucking hell. Well, Gotham is back. Gotham's back.
And it's as insane as it normally is.
Yeah, that was a long wait. And, yeah.
Well, yeah, the second episode is... wait, this isn't even season two, is it?
This is
just after the break.
Yeah. This is like episode 11.
Did they need to take a break?
I don't know. They shot everything ages ago as well.
I know. I don't understand that.
I don't know.
Anyway.
But we're going to talk about the new episode, which is called, what is it called again? Rogues Gallery, I think it was called.
Ah.
Yeah. Which is ironic, but I'll tell you why in a minute. But yeah, let's go straight to the first segment. Previously on Gotham. All right, so you just watched it. I only watched it a few days ago. So
yeah. I try and watch it fresh.
Yeah.
So that I've got all my thoughts jumbling around in my brain about it.
Still relatively fresh in my mind. Yeah. So basically, it starts just where it left off with.
I thought there was going to be a bit more of a cliffhanger.
What, something
if you were going to have a gap. I thought it was going to be a bit more of a payoff to the cliffhanger, sorry.
Right.
Because they did do a little mini cliffhanger, I guess, because he got...
Did they?
Yeah, well, Gordon got put into a different situation.
Oh, right, yeah. You mean
there's the
episode.
Idea that he lost his girlfriend. You know, a lot of different things all happened and at the same time. And we also kind of thought that Penguin was going to make a move. You know, like he was going to start the war.
Like
or
he was preparing something, but
yeah, big, and he wasn't.
I don't think this show is very good at like juggling different storylines.
No,
it's kind of like, oh, I can't focus on this now. I have to do this, and then it's like, yeah, but what's the other people doing?
They've still got superfluous storylines that are totally unnecessary.
Barbara's back.
What? Nothing happens with that storyline.
It was fucking pointless.
Why is she on drugs? Like,
is she on drugs?
She's on drugs. Like, they do a shot with her and pills and stuff. And it's like, and the reason they break the relationship again
is because people probably were like, this sucks.
No, they said, oh, we're toxic when we're with each other. Like, that's the reason why they're going to break up again.
We didn't see any evidence of that.
No, we did. She never left the bed.
For, like, weeks.
Well, no, we don't know time. That's the problem, is time, how long it's been, like, is a bit vague. So maybe it's been a while, but apparently alcohol and pills. And by the way, those pills, right, that they're talking
about... Are
they
pills that make you a lesbian?
No.
I might want some of those.
What the fuck, dude?
I don't know.
You don't need the pills.
No, just I could sell them. You know, I'd make a lot of money.
But the pills that are on the...
I'd test it on the cat first.
On the bedside cabinet.
Yeah.
look like they're prescription pills.
Right.
Which made me first initially think that she's going through severe depression.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. You've been thinking about this way too much.
No, but the thing is that it's not that at all. It's just, it's a prescription drug abuse, I guess, you know? But we don't know what it is exactly.
Because they don't know.
Is it diazepam or is it, you know, I don't know. Is it...
I think they're just...
Vicodin or... These things tend to matter.
Yeah, it seems like a subplot that probably needed to be like part of the actual plot, like of that character.
Or just get rid of it.
Or
it's
get
like,
rid of it.
Make something of it or just get rid of it, right? Because the problem is that... Now Barbara's really upset because she heard another woman's voice at Gordon's place, which happened to be Ivy.
Oh, that was funny.
Right, you can't
tell. She can't tell it's a child.
It's a child's voice.
Yeah.
Can't tell.
She's so dumb.
And what... All right. This is all...
So dumb.
This is all predicated, by the way, that Gordon hasn't been home. If he hasn't been home, where the fuck does he live?
Well, it was just for that one day, wasn't it?
No. No, that's not true. Because Kat says there's dust on everything and something's rotting. So that indicates that a big chunk of time has passed since Gordon's been home.
Why would he have to sleep at Arkham?
Fuck knows. It's not that far from the city.
No, it shouldn't be anyway. I mean, it's not on an island, is it? If it is...
No, it's not. No, not in this version, it's not
on an island. It is, they haven't shown it to us
that. No, yeah, exactly. They haven't shown
it. So there's no reason for us to think it is.
It's... Anyway, so that's bizarre.
Yeah, we've...
The whole penguin arc is pointless. Utterly useless.
Oh, yeah, I forgot the penguin's even in this episode.
Yeah, he is. He gets put in a cage, and that's it.
He bothers some fishermen. He gets put in jail. And then Maroney comes in and he's like, "You're being a bad penguin."
Yeah.
And that's it.
No. This was the funniest moment of the whole episode.
Which bit?
You've skipped over so easily. He doesn't call him penguin. He calls him a monkey.
A monkey?
Yeah. Maroney calls penguin a monkey.
Oh, okay.
Like a smart monkey, but still a monkey. And it's just like...
I forgot about that.
Oh, come on. It was so set up to say, you're a smart penguin, but you're still a penguin. Like, that just changed the animal.
Monkey.
Fuck.
Well, to him is a monkey. But now the penguin likes to be called the penguin.
Yes. Yeah, he doesn't see it as much as...
He's all proud of it now, all
he's
of a sudden.
A bit more, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I get what they're doing. They're trying to say, oh, he's getting too big for his boots. Like, you know, Maroney had to put him down a little bit.
It seems a bit
but
weird, though.
I think that's stupid. There's a couple of reasons why that's stupid. It's stupid because you've portrayed Penguin to be very intelligent.
Yeah.
Like, that's his forte, is being intelligent and manipulating people.
Yeah.
And this is a really fucking dumb move. Like, it's really dumb in comparison to what
of all the things he could have done.
He's done before.
Yeah.
So I don't buy that as like an action that this character is supposed to take.
Yeah.
Right? I get that he can be weedy and sort of, you know, overly apologetic to get his way, like to get out of something. That makes perfect sense. You didn't need to reestablish that.
No.
You know, as something that Penguin does. It feels like what this series has done time and time again. They're like, we've got to have Penguin in this.
Yeah.
So let's shoehorn something in so that he can be in the episode.
He can do something, yeah.
And it's just like, not everyone has to be in every episode. Like, the mayor's not in this episode. Great, because he's not needed. Like, it's unnecessary. We don't need the mayor in this episode, and he's not in it. Great. I love that.
Selina Kyle and Ivy are in this episode. They don't need to be.
No, again, they don't need to be.
They don't need
in
to
it.
Be.
I don't understand why that's even in there.
No.
I thought, oh right, of course, because Selina Kyle's still being hunted. I thought that was the point.
Yeah.
Right, but it's not. It's to take care of Ivy.
Oh, fuck.
Like, what?
They still shoehorned in Fish Mooney somehow.
Well, all right. That one, it... To be honest, I kind of like that arc.
Is that with the like the bodyguard that kills his own brother.
Yeah. I kind of like that.
Yeah, that was alright. I mean, I could see it a mile away.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I thought he was going to shoot him like the first time you meet him.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, it's textbook kind of crime movie type of thing. But
no, that's true. But they made an actual story out of it.
Sure.
They made an actual emotional journey for the guy. Like, they actually... to me, that's fine because that felt like character development. Now... It's cool. Not fine if that's it. Like that, if that little arc that they did is the only reason they did that, and that doesn't set up something later on.
Yeah.
Like, oh, now he's dead. Everyone's going to go to war with each other or something like that. Sure. And that's when Penguin steps
in. Yeah, if that doesn't move anything forward.
Yeah, if it doesn't move anything forward, then again, it was pointless. You shouldn't have done it. We don't care.
Yeah.
Right.
Especially because. Was his brother like a character that we saw before? Maybe briefly, but
yeah,
I don't think so. Really,
we probably saw him at the dinner table.
Yeah.
With Falcone,
because his death
briefly,
his death like had an impact, I guess, for someone, but it wasn't us. Like,
yeah, well, he's next in line apparently. Yeah. I mean, that's the big deal, right?
Sure.
Like, but the thing is, Fish Mooney doesn't order his death.
No.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fish Mooney is uncharacteristically kind in this episode. I would have thought she'd be paranoid because of Penguin, you know, because Penguin betrayed her and gained her trust initially and betrayed her, and she took that pretty hard.
Well, she's not going to fall for it again, I think.
Well, she almost did in a sense, really. She trusted the word of a bodyguard without actually, you know, backing that up. But then again, her trust was well placed.
Yeah, for once.
But it was just unusual she placed that trust in the first place.
So anyway. The focal point of this episode is Arkham, though.
Oh, yeah. To the actual good stuff.
Yeah, the Gordon.
And
stuff.
I actually did enjoy Arkham, the visuals. I can't.
Yeah.
I kind of wish they fleshed out the whole it's an asylum,
right?
But then again, they kind of just watch One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. You watch that whole film and then you're caught up on what shitty American old
asylums
are. And like electrotherapy, I don't think it's done anymore, dude. I mean, it's like that's back in the 50s or something.
No, I think it's still done.
I don't think they do that. Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
That's bullshit.
No, I think it's still done.
No.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah.
No, not in this country. Not in the UK.
I don't know about the UK.
Not Europe. I guarantee it's not done in Europe.
I guarantee it is.
Guarantee it's not
telling
done
you,
in Europe.
Yes.
It's not. Electroshock therapy is not done in Europe. I'm going to have to look this up now.
I'm telling you it is.
I should have looked this up earlier.
The electrician could be your neighbor for all you know. I like the electrician. I can't even say that fucking word. The electrocutioner.
Electrocutioner. Electroconvulsive therapy, it's called now.
There you go.
ECT.
Uh-huh.
As a last line intervention for major depressive disorder, mania, and catatonia.
You're living in a bubble, Jimmy.
Medical use.
A bubble, I tell you.
Really, doesn't really say which country. Hang on. Let me.
Because you just typed in, you know, the electrocutioner.
No, electroshock therapy as well.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Oh, here we go. This.
What are you typing? History.
No.
Pros and cons. Pros and cons.
It is now used less often between 1985 and 2002. It's used in England more than half, possibly because of better psychological and drug treatments for depression. But they don't say it's not being used.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. It's messed up.
Wow.
I know in France it's being used. Like it's the 1900s or something.
Shitting hell, man. In England and Wales, ECT can be given under the Mental Health Act. Wow. Just, I feel so much shame at the moment for being British. Okay, back to the episode.
So, you know where the rogues gallery is?
Not the details.
All right.
It's but you're going to tell me.
Yeah. It's usually what's referred to as the gallery of villains that Batman has.
Oh, sorry. In that specific context. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry. I thought you were, it was going to be, there was going to be a etymology lesson,
word by word.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. No, I mean, it usually refers to, like, the whole team, like the Joker, Penguin, blah, blah, blah.
Calendar Man.
But in this asylum, I couldn't make out anyone I knew.
No, no, there isn't, is there?
So I think...
No, this is all to set up a new villain.
Yeah.
The villain of the week. Yeah.
You say that word, because just like you can't say Maleficent, I can't say that word.
What, electrocution? Oh, fuck. You got me going now.
You suck. Wait. Electrocutioner.
Yeah, that's fine.
I can only say it as a vampire, though.
Electrocutioner.
There you go. That guy.
Yeah.
He had another name, like Jack Gruber or something. It was,
yeah, Gruber.
He was like
call him Gruber.
He was like the last, like the lost Die Hard villain. He's like the third brother. Jack Gruber. And, we totally revealed who the villain in that episode was. Because they do make us guess.
A little bit.
It's a whodunit.
Yeah.
So they introduce this new nurse.
They actually do that 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
Like they try and suggest... four times it's this person, it's this person.
They were like, oh, it could be the new nurse. Or the guy, the main doctor.
Or the fake nurse.
The fake nurse.
Who lived in the basement and apparently just turned up in a nurse's outfit. And everyone was like, fine, you're a nurse.
Yeah, I know.
Like, what the fuck? Come on.
Like,
really?
She set up plays and shit.
I know, but the thing is, are you telling me I can go to my local mental asylum? They're not called that here. But
no.
I can just go to one in a nurse outfit and just be like, I work here.
The Joker did it.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Oh, yeah. Oh, he looked like a fucking nurse.
He had a mask.
He had a fucking painted face with green hair.
He could be ill himself.
You wouldn't be a nurse then.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, dear.
Still, the hospital was empty. But that's beside the point. You know, in that movie, they emptied the hospital, except for Two-Face.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, fuck that guy. But yeah, so we meet these guys when they're doing like this really weird play. Because there's a whole stage in Arkham where crazy people can just do whatever the fuck they want.
I know, that is a bit much.
There's one guy dressed as an angel at one point, and then something happens. Like some guy goes apeshit.
In an asylum.
In an asylum, fancy that.
Someone goes crazy.
Yeah. And it turns out, it gets quite dark, which I quite liked.
Yeah, like, no, my initial sort of feelings on it was, oh, this is quite interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where they're like, the different patients are being like electroshocked.
Yeah.
In kind of a mind control type of way.
Yeah.
Well, I got really excited. I was like, mind control? It could be the Mad Hatter. Because that's his thing. But no.
But with hats.
No, because Gotham, Gotham's always fucking kicking me in the balls. Like, making me think it's someone and it's not.
Oh, here's Two-Face. No, it's not.
No. Two-Face, which we haven't seen in a few episodes now. I don't know.
He's not Two-Face yet.
No, he's not Two-Face. He's just one face.
Actually, he's never displayed any kind of anger, really.
Well, just for that one time, the first time we saw him.
Yeah, but no consequence.
That guy got killed.
He didn't kill anyone.
Lovecraft. That was Lovecraft, wasn't it? No, he didn't do anything. Then we only saw him twice. So.
Yeah, I know. But like his Two-Face credentials is he at one point just went, and that was it. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Like apparently anyone who does that is Two-Face now.
Maybe they realized he's not that interesting unless he's Two-Face.
Yeah.
So let's not have him for too long. So yeah, we think it's like 3 or 4 people. And it turns out, you know, it's Jack Gruber, who's this well-spoken, you know, creepy dude.
Yeah. By the way, where the fuck is Zaz?
Zaz is not in this episode, but I've heard he's coming back.
Oh, okay.
For I don't know if it's the next episode or the one after, but I've heard he's coming back. I mean, there's no use for him in this episode anyway. Mm. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't too bad plot-wise, like as a whodunit. They brought in, what's his name? Bullock.
Yeah.
Which at first I was like, come on, you don't need to shoehorn him in as well. But it kind of makes sense that he would come and help out.
Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't mind that too much. But yeah. And it ends in like typical kind of cartoon fashion where it's like, I'll get you next time, Gordon.
Yeah.
Like where he's in his little
van. I don't mind that.
No, I didn't mind it either. It felt like kind of a Batman series for
him. Yeah, yeah.
Where he's like escaping with his henchmen in a truck. Yeah, I kind of like that. It felt like a bit like the animated series, but live action.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, it's a way to end an episode, but open-ended as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, so, yeah. Which suggests they'll bring him back as a kind of full villain, which I'm okay with that. I thought they would reveal him to be Hugo Strange as well.
That was my hope.
Yeah.
That was my hope because he kind of had a look about it. Look of it, sorry.
Yeah. Because he's got that background of being a doctor as well.
Yes, yeah.
And he's crazy. And he's got that beard.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe they thought they just changed the name at the last second or something. I don't know.
They're kind of scared to really establish one of the main Batman villains.
Why is that, though? Do you think they're scared that people will be like, oh, you fucked it up?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or
they're waiting for season two to introduce new... I don't know.
Maybe they think, well, Batman's not in it. So
why are we watching this?
Well, no, but like, if you have the villains of Batman, can we really not say there's no Batman?
Do you think the series will end with someone building a golden signal in the sky?
I don't know.
That'd be hilarious. It's like this big G.
Yeah, but it's
this big mustache.
It's gonna be difficult, isn't it? Really, if you think about it, if you set up all these people.
Yeah,
and the whole thing's going to end with absolutely no kind of realization of any of them.
Not like, really.
They've kind of set up Ivy, kind of set up Catwoman, kind of set up Harvey Dent, kind of set up Zaz, kind of set up...
I don't know if they've really set him up. They just brought him in.
No, it wasn't Scarecrow. It was Leatherface or someone. Like
it was Goat.
It was Goat. Yeah, Spirit of the Goat.
Spirit of the Goat.
No, that's not a real one.
It'll always come back.
But they kind of set up some major villains.
Yeah.
But none of them will be realized.
Not really.
No.
I don't know. They're not really continuing anyone's story so far.
Yeah.
They're like, it's baby steps for everybody.
Yeah.
Which means at the end, we would have made one step forward, which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That episode was really uneven, but it had some good bits in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, meh.
Yeah.
I like the electrocution now. When I can say his name.
I can't say it now because you can't say it.
Say it.
I've said it loads already.
Say it once.
Not on this episode, but today.
Say it one last time.
Electrocutioner.
Well done.
Hey, I can say it. But I'm thinking about it too much now.
Yeah, I know. It's time to move on.
To
the bad poles.
To the bad poles!
Robin? Come on.
No.
God damn it. Don't just stare at me.
Don't.
All right. So we mentioned that on our other podcast, The Big Rewind, which you should check out as well. We didn't review Birdman on there because we wanted to do it on here exclusively.
Because it felt appropriate.
Indeed. There's a few Batman news. Should I get them out of the way now? And then we can just relax and talk about Birdman. Yeah. Well, you mentioned that yesterday, I think, that Tom Hardy was out of Suicide Squad, which is weird.
Probably a good idea.
Probably, I mean,
for him.
There's been talk that it's because he didn't really like the script he was given.
Good. Good for him.
Which is good for him. Not so good for the movie.
No, but he seems like an actor with incredible... what's the word?
What?
Integrity.
Integrity, yeah.
That's the word.
Well, we'll see. I mean, He was in Star Trek Nemesis. I'm joking.
Was he?
I'm joking. Don't no, remember.
Was he?
He was Picard.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, God.
He was Borg Picard.
God, I had completely blocked that out.
Yeah, I know.
From once he had his earlier
sure,
film.
Yeah.
Because he did Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
He was in that?
Yeah, he's in Tinker Tailor.
I don't remember that.
He's in Locke.
Yeah.
He's in, is it The Warrior?
Maybe.
Yeah, he's in The Warrior.
Isn't he in Romper Stomper or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, no, what I'm just trying to paint here yeah. is that he's in a lot of indie...
We're probably talking so much shit, by the way.
Indie films, small films.
Yeah.
You know, films whereby he's not going to make a lot of money out of them.
Oh, I see what you mean, yeah.
You know, but he's making an actor's choice to pick and choose his films very carefully.
Well, the first time I ever really noticed him was Inception.
Yeah.
But then I remembered Nemesis. I was like, oh, it was him. Yeah, you were right. He was in Warrior.
Thank you.
What was... I don't think it was in Romper Stomper. I think I mixed it up with Rock and Roller. Come on, it's the same fucking movie. You know it is.
Okay.
He was in Marie Antoinette.
Really?
I saw that. He was in Layer Cake as well. I saw that.
Yeah,
as
no,
well.
Layer Cake. I remember him in Layer Cake.
So weird. He was in all these movies. I didn't even know. Fancy that. Anyway, do you know who they're thinking of replacing him with?
Michael Fassbender.
No.
Someone British.
No.
Oh. Idris Elba. No, he's British. Sorry. What the fuck am I talking
the
about?
The one person who is British. No. Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, don't do it, Jake. No, because he's another actor with great integrity.
I know,
he did Prince of Persia.
That was a, you know, misstep there.
Yeah,
but
bad
apart
misstep.
From that.
But, like, yeah.
He's made up for it since then.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah, he's made, like, his last three films, like Prisoner, Nightcrawler, and End of Watch.
End of Watch, he did.
There's a few others I'm forgetting.
I mean, even Source Code wasn't that bad. I mean, it was okay. There was another one he did not too long ago. Anyway, he's made some good films.
Yeah. I'd say.
Even Brokeback Mountain before was pretty decent. So we'll see if Jake Gyllenhaal says a yes. It'd be weird, though, because I thought the character Tom Hardy was going to play was meant to be like a tough guy. Because Jake Gyllenhaal's a bit meeker than Tom Hardy. Like, he doesn't have the...
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's smaller.
And who's going to bulk up for fucking Suicide Squad? There's no point. Why would you change your body shape for that fucking
I wonder
movie?
What Affleck's doing, actually, for Batman. I wonder what, sorry, did, sorry.
Well, looking at him now, eating a lot. I don't know. He's never been chunkier.
He ate Christian Bale.
Yeah, he's like the wolf and fucking Into the Woods.
Did Bale lose weight for Exodus?
No. Well, he had to after fucking American Hustle. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
That was all him.
Yeah.
Wasn't fake Billy. also great news. Great news for this podcast. Gotham was renewed for a second season. We're so screwed.
Oh dear.
Gonna have to watch two seasons. Unless one of you out there wants to buy this podcast, you can buy the name and the structure.
Oh
and
dear.
Then we don't have to watch Gotham.
I'm still gonna watch it.
Yeah, I guess. If we're still gonna watch it, might as well.
Yeah.
And there's a new animated movie coming out called Batman vs. Robin, which seems like it would be an easy fight.
Yeah, I know.
But one of the Robins became the Red Hood, so it might not be so easy.
Well, it depends. Yeah, how far along are we talking?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, we'll investigate further because it's not. Maybe it's too early. But yeah, you can look it up. Oh, there it is. It was announced. Da-da-da-da-da. It takes place in the shared universe started in Justice League War, which must be some kind of franchise that I'm not following. You got Batman, Robin, Nightwing, and Alfred, and then a bunch of other people. Weird Al Yankovic as Dollmaker.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
And Kevin Conroy as Thomas Wayne.
Yeah, of course.
Not as Bruce Wayne, as his father.
Oh.
As Thomas Wayne, yeah.
Sorry.
I know.
Okay.
Interesting. It's good to have good old Kevin around anyway. You look confused.
Well, Thomas Wayne's dead.
Is he, though?
Yeah.
I don't know. It could be like a weird...
It's the whole fucking premise for Batman, you retard.
It could be A, a flashback. Or it could be B, like a alternate timeline type of thing. Like your favorite movie, Star Trek.
If they don't die, if they don't die, there's no Batman.
I know. But.
I get the flashback idea. All right, fine. But like, that can't be a big part.
We'll watch the film and see what it's really about.
Oh, whatever. Just give Kevin Conroy Batman. What the fuck?
He's done Batman.
He is Batman.
He's vengeance.
Batman. Arkham freaking Knight is not out yet. He is Batman.
Yeah. He's still Batman for now.
Yes.
Until fucking Ben. All right. Let's go to Bird. Let's talk some Bird.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We've got to get to that.
The Bird is the word, Jamie.
Can't we just call this film Batman? Like, it feels like we should call it Batman.
Are you sure you don't want to call it the unexpected virtue of my
ignorance?
Blue is the warmest
color.
something.
Look, dark forget of about the moon. That. Yeah. Let's forget about that little subtitle. which probably to some territories it didn't make that doesn't exist.
Jamie.
Anyway,
this subtitle smells like balls. I'm telling you.
Look.
Yes.
I get exactly why they called it Birdman, and the reason to reference it in such a way, kind of like Watchmen. You know, you don't need to say the exact same names. You don't have to have Superman.
For one thing, it's really expensive.
No, yeah, it is. You don't have to say Superman, Batman, or Iron Man, or Thor, whatever. You don't need to say
Thor Man.
Yeah, Ant-Man. Anyway, you don't need those things.
No.
You can make, you know, references. And this is obviously, like, the whole film.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like an alternative take on reality, whereby Michael Keaton plays Birdman instead of Batman.
Yeah, it's like a weird, other dimension.
Though to be specific, he is not Michael Keaton. He's not playing Michael Keaton.
No, I mean, he's playing kind of a more...
But I kind of...
Like, typically losery version of Michael Keaton.
But the other thing is, like, Michael Keaton had a mini revival with the other guys.
Yeah.
You know.
He's had a couple of mini revivals.
Yeah.
Like, over time.
Yeah.
But,
and he was in Robocop, which wasn't a good film.
No.
But I'm sure he made some money out of it.
Yeah.
So, and he is, and will forever will be, as quite a few other people who have played Batman, will always be known as Batman.
Yeah.
Right? And the thing is, that is the fantastic and brilliant perspective of this film, to make use of Michael Keaton for this film.
Yeah, yeah.
Because...
I don't know if they could have done it with anyone else.
Val.
That's true.
No, you could have done it, Val.
Yeah, but then...
He wouldn't have done it, but, like, that's the kind of actor...
Yeah.
Who you was... could have used...
I don't know if Val
couldn't have been Adam West.
No.
I don't feel... I think we wouldn't have taken it as seriously as we should have if it was Adam West.
If it had been...
And it's not a discredit to him, by the way. It's not a discredit to his series.
No,
because he does comedy now. That's why.
Yeah, I mean, Batman and Robin was always kind of comedy.
Yeah.
That's why if Clooney is in the movie, he'll make a joke out of it. It's just literally, I wouldn't like it. It's like, oh, you're taking the piss of Batman. It's
Well, he already was.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
It's like, why did you sign up to the project?
But look, it's Birdman 3 is George Clooney. Do you see what I mean?
Well,
like, do you see
Birdman 3? Well,
which it doesn't. Wait, no, Birdman 3 exists. Sorry, it's 4. Is it Birdman 4 he didn't do, or 3 or something like that?
He didn't do Birdman 4.
Yeah, okay.
But that guy got really excited. Batman 4. You do Batman 4.
So that's the thing. Like Birdman.
Was that meant to be Batman and Robin?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I think that's kind of.
So in that world, there is no Val Kilmer. It's literally. Michael Keaton made three
exactly.
Batman movies, yeah.
And then Clooney did one.
Yeah.
which doesn't happen. Sorry.
Someone else, yeah.
It's interesting, though, isn't it? That idea that, at least in this universe they paint in this film, that only he could be Birdman.
Yeah.
Like, they wouldn't remake it like they do now. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You get a different actor. You reboot the series. Spider-Man's a very good example.
I thought that was going to be a thing where, you know, he gets to meet the guy who plays Birdman now or something.
Yeah.
And it's like really awkward.
Yeah.
But instead, they kind of go in the direction that there's so many other superhero movies now.
Yeah.
That exactly. Birdman as a character is kind of like passé.
But because this whole film is essentially designed to be in our reality.
Yeah.
Because they reference real actors.
Yeah, Jeremy Renner.
Jeremy Renner and Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
They're not in it, by the way. No. It's just a reference that they mention their names. So, and by the way, everyone who is in this film is not the real version.
Well, they're not like, playing themselves.
Naomi Watts is not Naomi Watts.
Yeah,
Zach Galifianakis is not Zach Galifianakis. Edward Norton is not Edward Norton. Emma Stone is not Emma Stone. So... So everyone you see on screen is an analog of something else.
Yeah.
But they make references to real life actors and institutions and stuff like that.
Yeah, like YouTube and stuff like that as
well.
Yeah,
YouTube.
Social media is kind of a point that comes back.
And the New York Times and so on and so forth. And there's a big shot in Times Square. And obviously it's all based on Broadway. And those are important elements because it means you have to draw from reality to give credence to what's going on in the film.
But it's weird because it's like the film feels a bit like a play, but at the same time, it is a play. It's about a play.
The film is a play.
Yeah.
No, the film is...
The film feels like a play, it's about a play as well.
No,
But it's a movie, and it's about a movie.
I know.
It's like, God damn it.
It's an Inception type
mindfuck. And it's all shot in this like one camera movement type of
Apart
thing.
Apart to the very end. They do cut at the end. But, the whole film, and I fucking love it. I absolutely love the idea to do that.
Yeah.
And again, it's not just done because it's a technical feat. By the way, there are cuts, but they're digital and they're designed to not look like cuts.
Yeah.
But anyway... the fact that the camera is consistent throughout, but isn't someone's perspective, but it is of.
Well, I'm sure Michael Keaton didn't actually fly around the fucking town.
No, I know. But the thing is that the perspective that way of shooting something gives puts us in the film a little bit. You know, as an observer.
It's got like a weird dreamlike quality to it where it's just like the days go by quite quickly, like it feels like
it gives you the kind of feeling Science of Sleep gave a little bit. I mean, that Gundry is much more fanciful, but you know,
yeah, I see what you mean,
the feeling of at any moment this could turn into
This could get quite surreal.
This could go surreal, and the surreality, that's not a word.
Surreality?
Yeah, of this.
It could be a word.
Is from one person's perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the whole film essentially is from one person's perspective that we're voyeuristically observing.
Yeah.
And are involved almost to a point of which like an audience member of a play, which again brings it back to, is this a play?
Yeah.
But the way it kind of is a film is the passage of time.
Yeah.
So the passage of time will move quickly and slowly and skip really kind of, not arbitrarily, but to the plot.
Yeah. I mean, it skips through moments without you really realizing straight away.
But it also implies a lot.
Yeah.
So there's a real great moment when Edward Norton and Michael Keaton's characters meet for the first time.
Yeah.
And they're both kind of they've got very different roles that they're playing.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton is kind of apathetic at having someone else, having someone he doesn't know in the play.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he is instantly impressed by this actor and then wants this actor. And this other actor who has his own reasons for wanting to do it, but is also a complete arsehole. Edward Norton plays arseholes really well.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
He's really good at it. Anyway. Somehow.
And has his own motivations for it as well, which is fantastic. But then they sort of, once they had that little kind of moment, it's implied that then a whole method, a whole process then happens between that little scene and then when the play goes live. Because it literally goes live, like...
Straight away.
Almost one pan away, basically.
The preview. It goes to the preview, yeah.
Yeah, it goes straight to the preview, and you kind of have to assume, oh, they must have worked through the whole script by now.
Yeah.
You know, because so many things are different.
Sure. So you never really see like them sitting down together and kind of going through the script.
So they still speed
Although he
up the passage of time.
Then again, they mentioned that he knows it by heart.
Yes.
Yeah, Edward Norton.
No, I know, but he modified it.
Yeah.
He modified a lot of the way it was done to make it a better play.
Yeah, he has.
Really.
He does improve it.
Yeah.
But he gets drunk for real on stage.
Yeah.
Which is problematic.
Yeah.
But so it's all about Michael Keaton trying to do this play. Yeah.
But how difficult it is. Sorry. Imagine how difficult it is for an actor to play an actor. Acting. Do you know what I mean? This is actually relevant, but
luckily it's not that far-fetched of a actor that he's playing, like,
no, I know, but
of a character.
But the thing is that it's
very
not simply being yourself. These people are not simply being themselves.
No, of course not.
In the real world as actors acting, right? Yeah. They're not doing that. They're acting a person who's acting, which is really fucking difficult, okay? The kind of reference I would make would be there's a cartoon where Daffy Duck and Bugs Bunny,
yes,
right, they're the same voice actor.
What, Mel Blanc?
So, and he basically, what he does in one episode is he has Daffy Duck pretend to be Bugs Bunny, Bugs Bunny pretend to be Daffy Duck.
Okay.
It's fucking what, and he does it, and it's different. Like doing that from one to the other, and the other way around. And that's just such a mind fuck that you can do that, that you can invent that method. And that's why I'm like, it may seem like this film is just a drama that's very well written,
and
done very well, but also. I think you have to imagine how difficult it was for Edward Norton, Michael Keaton, and I watched for all the other great actors.
It's great performances.
Yeah,
all around.
Exactly.
Yeah,
they play an actor acting, but also act. It does my head in.
Yeah.
Like just thinking about it.
Yeah.
How do you not bleed in from one to the other? How do you not?
I know.
Want to just be the person in the play and not the person acting the person.
Yeah.
Being the person.
It must be confusing.
Yeah.
There's a couple Birdman moments, but you thought there was going to be way more Birdman moments.
I thought it was going to be more about Birdman.
Yeah.
But
if you've seen the trailer for Birdman, you've seen most of the Birdman moments.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which I'm not against, by the way. I'm not against that it is the whole Birdman thing is history and it's
yeah, it's kind of at the back of his mind all the time,
But
rather
it still
than
has a major effect on him by being a paranoid schizophrenic.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
He's getting there.
There's a good argument to say that he's a paranoid schizophrenic.
Well. I don't know if I would go that far, but if
come on. Well. He acts pretty big moments of his life sober,
yeah,
as if there's someone telling him what to do.
Sure. I guess, but yeah. I mean,
and it's not just him like telling it, it's his imagination telling him that you know, it's not lessons learned idea.
Sure. I think it's more of a symbol though. I mean, I don't think any of this is actually really happening. I think it's Birdman's just that voice in your head, that nagging voice.
Oh, I don't know.
You used to be somebody, you know.
I think it goes a step further.
It's not like he's in the middle of a conversation.
It's not a conscience. It's not a conscience, you know, or...
Well...
It's not a reasonable voice, you know?
Well, I guess. But I guess Birdman is right sometimes about what he's telling him.
I think he's chaotic.
Yeah. But yeah. I think... It's not like he's in the middle of a conversation. He's just like, what did you say, Birdman? And like, he just like goes crazy all of a sudden.
When I describe this film to other people without spoilers...
But if the ending happens the way I think it does... Spoilers, yeah. By the way. Then he does definitely have a problem.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry. I was going to say, when describing this film to other people to get them to watch it...
Yeah.
...was really difficult. It's a really difficult sell.
Yeah.
Because you basically have to say, this is a film about a play... about an old man trying to discover
trying to make sense of his existence.
Yeah, trying to discover like
through his
meaning in life, almost.
Like, meaning. Oh, okay.
Meaning in life.
Yeah.
As an actor and an artist.
Yeah.
Trying to give meaning to his career, because though he used to love money, he now wants to do something purely artistic.
Yeah.
And when I describe that to people, like, oh, fucking, I can skip that. But I can't tell you how much I enjoyed this film, because again, it like a film we saw recently, it emotionally is super engaging.
Oh yeah, right? Definitely.
And
the character dynamics are brilliant.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And the comedy's fantastic.
Yeah,
it's
very funny.
The comedy
and the writing's really sharp as well.
Yeah.
I don't think it gets pretentious, really. I mean, maybe a couple moments.
It is a criticism. This whole film is a criticism of our current status.
Oh, yeah.
Of Hollywood. Big blockbusters.
Yeah. It's about that. It's about, as well, kind of like how everything is more about like a short kind of shock value.
Yes.
That makes you into a celebrity rather than, you know, an achievement. You know, it's not really about, oh, I acted really well in this movie. It's about, I ran around Times Square almost naked once.
Yeah.
And
it got millions of views.
A lot
of
people saw that. Yeah. Even though... Michael Keaton in this movie, he doesn't mean to do that. He literally locked himself out.
It's funny.
The only way he could get back into the fucking theater.
I want to know how they shot that, actually.
Yeah. Do you think they were all extras? They must have been.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that.
Because some of them were like calling his name and stuff.
Well, that was Birdman. Added. That would be ADR. But
I guess it could be. But,
I thought that was... It would have been great if that was for real, but then it would have gone wrong.
That bit kind of reminded me of like those old Italian movies, like La Dolce Vita and stuff, where the press is always like really in your face.
Yes, yeah. If Michael Keaton did that in real life, that's exactly what would have happened.
I know.
Like the reaction and the... and they'd be like, oh my God, it's Batman!
I would have filmed with my phone. Yeah,
exactly.
I would have covered him with my coat because...
Oh...
You know, he's Batman.
In a Batman t-shirt.
Yeah. I'm wearing now. I pulled a Jamie where I wore a Batman t-shirt on a Batman podcast, even though it's useless. But, yeah. I mean, I really highly recommend Birdman. It's definitely one of the best films I saw last year.
Technically.
Yeah.
We saw it this year.
Did we?
Yeah, we saw it this year.
Well, yeah. But it's technically.
No, I know. It was made last year.
Yeah.
It was played in America last year.
But it, I don't know, as like a more kind of slightly more intellectual film than we used to. Like.
Oh, this is a film for fucking media studies.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. There weren't that many smart movies last year.
Oh no!
So I was happy with that one. I mean, Interstellar to a certain extent was quite brainy as well, but it was sci-fi, so it was mostly. it's mostly bullshit. That's catered.
Most,
you know,
most big films. Yeah. Like, unfortunately, when you are, you know, evenly critical of it, can fall apart quite easily.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas I find this film, Birdman, is a kind of film I could watch a few more times.
Yeah,
and really
yeah.
sort of analyze the characters, analyze the play that they're playing in the and what
yeah.
kind of meaning that has as an overall criticism of theater.
There's definitely a lot
well.
Of and little subtle touches that
yeah,
we probably
yeah.
didn't get the first time.
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, the whole point of the New York Times is very interesting as well. The fact that
the critic,
yeah, the critic and
yeah.
and what critics are and their meaning and part of the process and what that means to the wider kind of community of theatre
yeah.
and that could be analysed to death, I think, as well. At least
it does fit into that whole kind of shock value thing as well, because like the only way she could ever give him a good review is if he did something crazy, like shoot himself on stage.
And he did.
Which is like exactly what he hated, because he doesn't
yes.
like that stuff.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to do like a 2-minute fucking YouTube clip of him running around naked or
yeah.
like shooting himself on stage.
Yeah.
But he has to. Like, he's desperate at this point to like, you know, make his life matter somehow. But
amazing.
It's quite a sad, tragic movie in a way.
Yeah, in that sense, it is,
yeah.
because...
I hope Michael Keaton is doing better than that.
Oh, of course he is,
yeah.
for fuck's sake. He's,
yeah.
No.
It's quite courageous of him to like play such a downer of a
yeah.
part, considering it's so close to his own fucking
yeah.
story.
No, look, it. In that sense, like, the history behind this film is quite narrow, because you're imagining that Michael Keaton's character only did Birdman and didn't do
oh,
anything
yeah, sure.
else. Whereas Michael Keaton has an extremely long career
yeah.
of loads of films. You know, he's most famously known for Batman, but he
yeah.
did do a lot of other films as well before
sure.
Batman and after. So
yeah.
it's not like as direct a historical
sure.
reference.
Yeah, he's worked with some of the best directors around
yeah.
and he's even when he wasn't like at the top peak of his career, he still
yeah.
made one good film here and there.
Yeah.
Herbie Fully Loaded doesn't count. I saw another film with him which was called something like some like high school like Disney movie.
Really? Did he have his phase at Disney?
Yeah. He played the dad.
Fucking, oh God, please Johnny Depp stop. Sorry, because he's having his phase with Disney.
I know. He wasn't Into the Woods.
Yeah.
He was the wolf that sings about, like, the rapiest song I've ever heard. Such a pedo wolf
oh,
in that
please
film.
Stop it, Johnny, please.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know why I've gotten to that.
No, I don't know. But yeah, so Birdman is highly recommended from
absolutely.
Us. It's not a huge surprise coming from yeah. us, but are you ready for a riddle?
Yeah, go for it.
Riddle me this, riddle me that. Who's afraid of the big black bat?
Riddle me this, Jamie. When is a prize fight like a beautiful lady?
When is a prize fight?
Yeah.
See, prize fight is not a term we use in Europe.
You're like, you're wrong,
right.
Adam.
Right.
Yeah.
You're talking about a boxing match.
Yes, yes.
Okay, all right.
A prize fight.
I think the only
you see?
The only reason I know that word, prize fight, is because of like the Hurricane with Denzel Washington.
You watched that movie? Yeah, I forgot about that.
I fucking love that film, dude.
I know you do.
I know it's really cheesy, but I fucking love it.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I know it's completely inaccurate as a historical reference. But anyway.
You haven't answered the
when
question.
Is a prize fight like a beautiful woman?
No, like a beautiful lady.
Lady, woman. Okay, fine.
Yes.
Oof. Nitpicking.
Woof.
Is that a clue? Woof.
Woof, no.
Oh,
I didn't do the Riddler song. Okay, what do you think of when you think prize fight?
Boxing, blood, death.
Why death?
Barbarism.
OK. Yes, Apollo Creed dies on the ring, doesn't he?
Betting, Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction?
Yeah, Bruce Willis.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, as a boxer.
Yeah, that's true. He kills someone in the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course he does. How do you not know that film, like, back to front?
Because it is back to front. It's fucking... I have to think about all the fucking storylines and just be like, oh, yeah, that happens at the end. Which was the beginning.
Come on,
God
the,
damn it.
The creepy French woman in the taxi.
She's not French.
Is she not? Oh, no, she's not. It's, damn.
His girlfriend is the French one.
That's the one, sorry.
With the pat belly.
Yeah.
What are we talking about? Oh yeah, boxing. So prize fight. What do you think of when you think beautiful lady? Maybe I shouldn't ask that.
Beautiful lady, long hair, dark eyes.
Okay, go back to the prize fight. Your lady's boring.
boxing gloves.
I could wear a black dress.
Round. Oh, okay. Okay. That's
I don't know why I suggested that. But
oh, dear.
Who's to say I haven't?
Different rounds of 2 minutes of battering each other.
Uh-huh. You're just describing
Raging
boxing
Bull.
Now. The answer is in a movie from like... 20 years after the fucking question was asked.
Domestic violence.
Domestic violence.
Yeah.
Well, Raging Bull. Yeah.
Joe Pesci.
Yes, the answer is Joe Pesci. Well, 98, you know, answers out of 100 questions is
well,
Joe Pesci.
Prize fights have lots of money.
There's money, yeah.
Okay, so money.
When is a prize fight like a beautiful lady when they're paid for?
Yeah.
That's incorrect.
Oh. Tell me.
When it's a knockout.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
No, that's good.
You like that
that's
one?
That's good. Oh, okay. That's good. I like that.
I don't know which villain they could have pointed to. Though.
No, that makes perfect sense. That's really good. I like that.
Was there some stupid...
Oh, what villain does that refer
yeah.
to?
Was there some like stupid boxing match with Batman and like fighting the Joker? Or that was like a surfing
no, I
competition?
Think no, who knocks you out? Like, who uses drugs to knock you out?
Oh, maybe.
Like chloroform, like Scarecrow or something.
You know? Oh, wow. There's no Scarecrow in the old series.
Oh, is there not? Sorry.
No.
I can't remember the whole fucking...
I don't know.
To be honest, you know what? I don't think I've seen every single episode of the original
No,
series.
I haven't either. I mean, so. It's only like this year that the whole box has been available, so...
Yeah.
There's no way we could have like really owned them unless we watched all of them on TV. I used to catch some before like 5 p.m.
Yeah.
Before going to
That's
work.
That's how I caught like repeats on TV.
And yeah. Stuff. And when I was younger as well. But yeah. It's all kind of... Well, I'm sure that most of them are on YouTube.
Yeah.
In shit quality, but yeah. still. Oh, well. Anyway, so yeah. So that was Gothamized for this week. You do suck. We'll be back next time with the next episode of Gotham, which should be out soon. And what else? I rewatched Batman Returns. I can talk about that next week. You've seen Batman Returns.
Of course.
Yeah. We saw it at the cinema together.
Yeah. I know. I was there.
Do you think they'll ever show Batman Forever at the cinema again?
I hope not.
Yeah. I don't really need to go because I actually saw that one at cinema when it came out.
Did you?
Yeah.
I don't know if I did.
It's only the first two Batman movies I wanted to see at the cinema because I hadn't seen them. And Blade Runner.
I think my fanness for Batman has grown.
You're really inventing so many words today. You've
grown,
got fanness, surreality.
Yeah, has grown. Well, it's what William Shakespeare did.
We were going to say Shatner, but okay. So reality.
I think my fanness as I've grown older...
Stop saying fanness.
...has grown as I've gotten older.
Okay. So? I thought
no,
was,
I'm just saying...
I thought there was a second point.
No, I'm just saying that I may have not caught everything to do with Batman at the time of which it released.
Sure.
And sometimes I rediscover... things about Batman and the universe,
yeah,
whatever form it takes, and I think that's fine.
Yeah,
I think that's it's one of the things I truly like about a lot of franchises now, whereby it's easy and It's not kind of overly criticized if you discover something late.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I like that. I really like that.
Well, because everything's available now when it wasn't before.
I know, but...
Like, readily.
I don't get the... I don't get as many kind of people who are like, oh, I'm a purist, you know, I was a Batman fan.
I'm a purist.
Since it, you know, this or that.
Oh, you get those online.
Really? Yeah. So it's like, but who really cares about that? It's
exactly. It's, I mean, just different people were introduced to it in different ways and, you know.
Cool.
Zap.
What?
Zap.
Zap.
I'm the electrocutioner.
Zap.
I just zapped you.
Zap.
You know, in the old series, that's what he would have done.
No, I know.
He would have been like, zap, and then...
Masters of the universe.
Masters of the... You mix like four different fucking franchises.
I know.
Jamie, you've been Gothamized.
Oh, fuck's sake. Sorry. That's how my brain is at the moment.
Zapped? Yeah, I know.
It's like, how can I combine He-Man, Thundercats, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles...
Teenage... Cat. Man.
Man.
Cat man man. Teenage cat man man. What does that mean? It's like some teenage cat with two heads. Two human heads.
No.
Teenage cat man man.
It's teenage he. It's teenage he thunder. Teenage he thunder.
You know it's teenage cat man man. We have to make that like a little animation.
Oh, no, Transformers. You need Transformers in there as well.
No, no, no. It's too much. You already have two men in there.
I know.
That's enough.
Anyway.
I want to do like one of those horse videos that's like 5 seconds long on YouTube.
Fuck off with those.
But I'd call
you
it...
You do my head in.
I'd call it Teenage Catman Man, though.
All right, enough. Because that reference was too obscure.
All right. Zap, zap. You've been zapamized.